This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hi, Jennifer Graham. Thank you so much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday, the first Saturday of September. And, David, what a difference a week makes in terms of the weather. The first week of the high school football season played in stifling heat and humidity, and then last night felt like fall.
It's been like that all week. It's been a heck of a change, and we really honestly this year haven't had a lot of hot days, it seems. It's been pretty, in my opinion, mild.
Oh, I agree, and that's what makes the hot days we have had so miserable.
Right.
We're like people from Minnesota or North Dakota now. We're not you. What is this heat and humidity? This is terrible.
Yeah, terrible swimming weather and summer weather in general.
It wasn't a good year for that. All the pools that went in last year didn't exactly get the full type of summer they were anticipating this year.
A week's worth of use.
That's right. Totally worth it.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a much closer to football weather last night. I wouldn't know. I was inside, but you had to experience it.
We saw a lot of cramping in week one, not nearly as much last night, and, you know, multiple factors involved in that, but the weather, certainly a big one. Last night on the radio, we had Greenville and Gillespie. The Comets were victorious 35-2. Strange game. It could have been a lot closer than that, but it wasn't. The final score is what it is, but it was just one of those odd games. We'll get into that more here as we move along. We'll catch up with Miners coach Jacob Bilbrook later on in the hour. Wasn't a lot of action in the South Central Conference last night, David. I think Southwestern beat West Glen 33-20. And then Carlinville, they went up to Vandalia, and it was a tough, tight ball game, but the Vandals won it late, 49-41. And we may have Carlinville coach Chad East today with us on the phone right now. Possibly.
Morning, Tim.
Hey, there he is. How you doing, Chad?
It's a really, really good day. Before we talk football, I'm over here in Effingham area, and my son's getting married today at 2:00. So that's a good thing.
That is a fantastic thing. Congratulations! And thanks. So you, I assume, went straight from Vandalia to Effingham last night, or did you go early this morning? Because you don't sleep.
No, I don't sleep, but my coaching staff, they took the bus home for me last night so that I could drive straight here, and it worked out really well. So, anyway, we can talk some football now. So we're over here in Effingham. It's kind of strange. I'm not set up for a JFL game, so I'm just doing something different.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're all about routines, and the routines have just been non-existent here for a variety of reasons over the course of time. And since we last talked, you've played two football games. So let's start there. Non-conference week one at Gibson City, that was a heck of a road non-conference win.
Yeah, you know what? We couldn't find a game, and they were gaming like you and I've talked before. I'm happy to see these coaches that if you get to play a game, you got to play a game. I mean, kids through the pandemic need to play, and so we found a good opponent, and we didn't know much about them and that sort of thing. So, we went over there, and it turned out in our favor. We ended up taking the lead early. It was a very hot day, and struggled there a little bit, but we came out on top.
You mentioned the hot day. There was nothing hot about last night. True football weather and a completely different type of game against Vandalia than you had week one against Gibson City.
Yeah, Gibson City's a true power offense type deal thing. So last night you saw two spread teams go at it, and obviously the game took 3 hours and 15 minutes, and which is about normal if you're playing Vandalia these days or Payne or Greenville. That we're all in that type of spread offense. So it's basketball on grass, so to speak, and it came down to the last play and who made the least amount of mistakes.
I'm always curious, when you're in a shootout like that as a coach, do you think about the stop you didn't get or the score that you didn't get?
It's the stop you didn't get. It's the stop you didn't get, because by the time that middle of that second quarter rolls around and you've already coached up your matchups and you know what challenges you have by that time, it's going to be about a stop, and it's going to be about a critical stop in the game or a critical third down play if we can flip it the other way. So, to be honest with you, Tim, we made mistakes on both of those fronts last night and inevitably end up costing us.
And what proved to be the game-winning touchdown comes on fourth down and I think seven, and that's always a tough pill to swallow.
Yep. We were in the right spot. Believe it or not, it was an underthrown ball, and the kid just came back, and we fell down, and they walked in the end zone. So the game wasn't won or lost on that play, by any shape of the imagination. We had our chances, and we could have put we were up 21-6. So, you know, there were some times there that we shot ourselves in the foot. And, you know, that's a good thing. I'll be honest with you. It's better to do this week two than week seven. We knew we had a young team that needed some varsity experience, and we knew the first two, our first two attempts at a football game were going to be very difficult ones with great opponents. Not saying that Hillsboro and nobody else is the rest of our schedule, but we knew we were front-loaded the first 2 weeks.
Well, and when you've got opponents like that the first 2 weeks with no preseason, to come out, obviously you wanted to be 2-0 and you're a fingernail away from it, but 1-1 ain't bad in that scenario.
Nope.
Bolt
nope.
on the road.
I would agree with you. It felt better this morning than it did last night as we walked off the field. I mean, obviously, we watched the film this morning in the hotel room or late last night, whenever it was. But, you know, you want to explain, and it's been a while since we've had some young kids go into older kids and not have a ton of varsity experience. So, you know, we jumped off sides twice in a row. That's a mental error. You know, that we can't do that. That's not carnival football, and we got to get better at that. You know, those types of things. And as we go through the season, I hope that we've already matured from week one to week two, so I would see no reason why week two to week three would not be any different. So,
Chad, just interesting to think about, you know, you're at your son's wedding here. What a big day. So many full circle moments for you and your boys. You know, you got the opportunity to coach them at the varsity level. Now you're seeing them get married. Just talk about just watching them grow from little guys to your varsity football players, both your star quarterbacks, and now here we are today. Wow.
Tim, it's really special to me. You've known me my entire head coaching career. I've watched both of my kids go through JFL together, through high school together, on and off, break each other's records. Today I'm going to watch one get married and the other one's going to stand next to him and be the best man. So, you know, my dad was at the game last night, drove me here. We love football. That's our DNA. That's kind of what we do. So, I don't know. It's pretty special to me personally.
I just got goosebumps listening to you talk about it, man. I don't know. Hey, Chad, we'll let you go. Enjoy the day. Congratulations, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Chad Easterday of the Carlinville Cavaliers. And
I assume it's Job that's getting married.
I guess I should have asked, but I would assume.
He's got two of them.
He's got two, yes. But what a great day. And, you know, it's people, right? You think about Tony La Russa's line about, they're men, not machines, you know. Mm-hmm. And we get in the habit, even at the high school level, of getting so caught up in the X's and the O's and the wins and the losses. And Carlinville lost a heartbreaker last night. And no one more upset about it than Chad Easterday. But then on the road he goes and going to watch his son walk down the aisle today. I mean, it just, there are people, and you heard the emotion in his voice talking about, you know, thinking about coached them in high school and just all the way through. It's so special. And it's those types of moments over the last year and a half, quite frankly, that have been lost, right?
Yeah, it puts things into perspective.
Real fast.
Yeah. Start to realize, not that football and coaching isn't important to them, but you really start to think about what's important in life.
You do. And you heard us talk about football is kind of the twine mm-hmm. that brings it all together. And it's just very special and just awesome.
Will the colors today be red and blue?
Ooh.
I don't know that whichever son is getting married had the choice in that.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think it was up to Mr. Easter Day.
Probably not.
The missus said, you shall wear this?
Yes.
Okay. That looks wonderful.
Well, there's communication. Compromise is a big part of it.
Right. You compromise.
I wanted blue and red. She wanted purple and gold. We compromised, and the colors are purple and gold.
Right. It's not that complicated.
That's right.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will run down some scores, and we will catch up with Hillsboro coach Joe Reed. Big game for the Hilltoppers today. They will be hosting Pena. Live coverage will get underway at 1:45 this afternoon for the 2 o'clock kick. And, David, it might be a bit sloppy.
A little bit.
So we'll talk about the Pena Panthers and the Hillsboro Hilltoppers when we come back following these messages on
916 right here at FM 106. Some of our sponsors for Sports Saturday program, thanks to those: Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville, taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Stern, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. And Kurtz, 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. And once again, here's WSMI's Tim Mize and David Jenkins.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Pena at Hillsboro, live this afternoon, 1:45 with the pregame on WSMI FM 106.1 and online at WSMIRadio.com. And David, it's one of those years. It's just extremely fluid, and you can just tell there's not as many games as you're accustomed to on Friday night. Of course, Litchfield Staunton was supposed to be tonight. It is canceled due to Litchfield being in COVID protocols. We'll be talking with Purple Panther coach Dan Carlson coming up later on in the hour here on Sports Saturday. We know North Mac went remote last week. They didn't play Maroa Forsyth last night. The Pleasant Plains Porter game, that didn't happen. Rochester's game against MacArthur, that didn't happen. They'll play today up in Wilmette against Loyola Academy. So it's a lot of moving parts right now. But we did actually have quite a few games last night.
Yeah, there were a lot of non-conference games. We'll stick with South Central first. The game you heard here on WSMI FM 106, Greenville over Gillespie, 35-2. We mentioned earlier in the show, Vandalia defeated Carlinville in a good one, probably the game of the night in the conference, 49-41. A non-conference game featuring a South Central opponent. Southwestern went to Trenton and beat Westglenn High School 33-20. That game was tied at 20 after three quarters. It was tied at the half as well. So congrats to Southwestern on putting up 13 unanswered in the fourth quarter.
Went 5-1 in the spring. Got the forfeit win last week, of course, over Staunton. Win last night, so 7 of their last 8 here this calendar year.
Pat Keith appears to be turning that program around.
I would say so.
In the Sangamo Conference, Auburn gets a win. They defeated New Berlin last night, 21-0. Pittsfield over Riverton, 31-21. Williamsville, in a heck of a ball game, defeated Athens, held on to beat Athens, 28-21. Athens had the ball fourth and goal with less than a minute left and got sacked, so that's how that game was won. So, yeah, very close one. And the other Sangamo game, Pleasant Plains and Porta, canceled because of COVID concerns, I think, within the Porta program.
Second straight week for Porta.
Yeah. We have Joe on the phone?
We're getting him.
Oh, okay, gotcha. WIVC North and South, they usually play each other North and South beginning of the year and end of the year. Concord Triopia defeated Greenfield Northwestern 13-12. Carrollton all over Jacksonville Route 54-8. Mendon Unity, a 32-6 win over Calhoun. Brown County all over North Green, 48-0. West Central defeated Beardstown, 43-6. And Camp Point Central defeated Pleasant Hill, 34-0. In the Apollo Conference, Lincoln defeated Charleston, 14-6. Muhammad Seymour over Effingham, 37-7. And Mount Zion over Mattoon, 31-7.
Coming up later on this afternoon, a game we'll have live right here on WSMI. Pena will be in Toppertown to take on Hillsboro. Live coverage of the 2 o'clock kickoff at 1:45 right here on FM 106.1 and streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. And joining us on the phone right now is Topper head coach Joe Reed. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, doing fantastic. I guess first question, what's the field look like after that rain shower?
I'm actually getting ready to head out there right now, check it out. But it drains pretty well, so I'm sure it's in decent shape anyway.
And, you know, this is the type of day when you play your type of style. This is football weather right here.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. You know, when you're a little kid, you kind of dream about playing in the rain.
That's
or
right.
playing in the snow. So, looking forward to it. I know the kids are, so we're excited.
Yeah, the uniform washers might not be looking forward to it as much, but it will be a fun day for the boys.
They'll need some OxyClean, right?
Joe, as you looked at Pena and prepared for this game, what did you see? What do the Toppers need to execute today?
Well, we got to deal with their speed and on the back end, and kind of let our front six play, and hopefully that's enough to get some stops, and then obviously we got to methodically move the ball down the field and control the clock the best we can. So no surprise there. It's kind of what we do anyway. So. I think it's just kind of dealing with some of their team speed and some of the formations that they present. And, Coach Light does a great job mixing up his defense. And so applying our rules and, making sense of it's going to be, an important part of the game.
And, the South Central Conference has been trying to figure out a way to slow down Pena for a number of years now. And I think probably you hit on it. The best way to do it is to not give them the ball.
yeah, try to keep them off field. Coach Higgins is pretty crafty with what he does, and they do a great job of getting vertical, and you know, they're good in space, and so dealing with their athleticism, and you know, I'm trying to get a pass rush against some of their offensive linemen, and you know, those are, you know, kind of simple keys to the game, I guess, but those are things that they do really well, so it's not an easy, you know, it's not an easy task just to say it. You know,
right.
You still got to go out there and do it. So,
because how important will it be mentally? Because it can be deflating when you're ball controlling, and if you don't score, and then all of a sudden they go over the top and they're in the end zone in one or two plays. That can be a tough mental hurdle.
Yeah, I know. I think with the style we play, you know, resiliency is going to be a huge thing. You know, they're going to make plays, and you know, it's kind of dealing with those plays and, you know, refocusing and making the most out of your drives and making sure you come away with points is important. But, you know, putting our defense in a good spot where we're not, you know, backed up in our own territory and, you know, having to keep them out of the end zone with, you know, 40 yards to go. So, controlling the clock, number one, but then also flipping the field when we do get offense, you know, at least getting a couple of first downs and making them have to really work to get their scores and not letting them, you know, kind of snake bite you with quick ones. So,
you know, it's funny, last week you mentioned one of the things you took away from your first game as head coach was, oh, we got to get there earlier. You're at home this week, so you get to take in all of the trappings that go with the home festivities at Hillsborough. That'll be a fun environment today.
Yeah, not playing till 2. You know, I'm probably going to get there way too early. you know, it's what a great weekend to play. You know, with Labor Day, you still kind of get, you know, 2 days to recover afterwards, and you know, it's just it's a lot of fun. It gives you that playoff atmosphere, and you know, I think our we got the JFL playing. They started at 8 this morning versus Tana, so it's going to be kind of a extravaganza day, I guess you could call it. So I think there's a lot of excitement in the town, and you know, we're excited for Tana to come to town. So,
and Joe, that was one of the big misses over the last year was without JFL, the football season, it doesn't feel complete.
Yeah, you know, I think you know, young guys when they get to wear their jerseys on Fridays and you know, kind of be a part of football, I think that's kind of what drives the community throughout the fall, to be completely honest with you, and kind of that build up to Thanksgiving, right? So you know, kind of getting everybody on the kind of gets everybody together, and everybody's kind of doing the same thing. You know, we got football this weekend, so I think that's a huge thing this year. You know, just the return to normalcy has been, I think, what everybody's been craving. From an athletic standpoint, and you know, I hope it, like I said, I hope it continues. I hope hope everybody stays healthy and we're able to continue kind of on this grind of the season. So,
absolutely. Joe Reed, good luck today against Pana. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
Hey, thanks a lot. Look forward to talking to you again.
All right, Joe Reed, the head coach of the Hilltoppers. You know, David, I mentioned it like last year during the basketball season. The oddest thing to me after a basketball game last year was not seeing the kids down on the floor, mm-hmm. running in line to in line, you know, thinking about what they were going to do when they were on that floor when they got to high school. It was just strange. And the JFL thing with football is the exact same.
Yeah, it's, I mean, COVID brought on a lot of new things that we're just going to have to get used to, unfortunately. Unfortunately or fortunately, whatever you want to take a side on. But, yeah, I'd be curious to see if the conditions, with as much team speed and as dynamic as Pana is, if the conditions maybe swing an advantage in Hillsborough's favor just a little bit.
I mean, you could certainly make the case that, you know, a wet field benefits a style of Hillsborough, but you also have to keep in mind, I don't think a wet field affects an offense as much as it does a defense necessarily, because the wide receivers and the offense players, they know where they're going. You know, when their foot goes in the ground, they know what the plan is. The defender, they might get caught on a slippery track, but offensively, though, this is, you know, Hillsborough's type of day. And like,
yeah,
you love pounding the football on this type of just kind of dreary afternoon.
Oh, it's certainly going to be fun, and Toppers hopefully can get the first win under head coach Joe Reed and build on that win and get their program going in the right direction.
Looking at some other scores from last night around the area, David.
In the Central State 8, SHG was all over Southeast, 59-7, that final score. Jacksonville defeated Normal University High School 35-14. Glenwood had no problem with Decatur Eisenhower, that final score 42-6. Springfield High School only put up 66 points against Lanphier. I say that because they had 58 in the first quarter.
That's hard to process.
Yes. I thought it was going to be like a 90-point game or a 100-point game or something like that after I saw that, but man.
Well, the running clock is put in to avoid that happening.
But I don't think that started until the second half.
Well, it doesn't. No, that's exactly right. But, you know, when you mentioned that score last night, I made the comment during our broadcast. It reminds me of a few years ago when Edwardsville somehow lost the game where they were up 40 and had the running clock in the second half. They lost. I couldn't wrap my mind around how that could happen, just as I can't really fathom how you can score 58 points in the opening quarter. Probably the same scenario. Fumble returns for touchdowns, interception returns for touchdowns, kickoff return for touchdowns.
Well, with Edwardsville case, you unfortunately get too comfortable and too relaxed, and that's what happened with them. So
right, but the clock never stopped.
I know.
It's just that
you got way
more,
too relaxed.
That is more, I would say, odd to me than scoring 58 points in the first quarter is losing a game where you've got a 40-point lead in the running clock.
It's true, but sometimes when the other team has momentum, it's hard to get it back, even if with a running clock.
All true, but
yeah.
The game goes fast when the clock doesn't stop.
I know.
But, yeah.
I know. But, yeah, reportedly 5 players ejected in the first half of that game. Don't know if it was all from one team or both teams or whatnot, but that's what was said was in that Springfield High game, 5 players ejected. I don't think I mentioned this. They defeated Lanphier 66-20 was the final score. So Lanphier did put up 20 points, but they were down 58-8.
Not quite enough.
No. Not quite. Mississippi Valley Conference, non-conference games, I should say. Civic Memorial, 28-0 victors over East Alton Wood River. Interesting game, I thought, here. Edwardsville and Highland, 41-33. I thought that's a very, very cool game.
I love those types of matchups when you get, you know, because any school around here, no one outside of their Edwardsville's conference is going to match Edwardsville in size. So anytime they take on, you know, like last night in volleyball, Staunton played Edwardsville.
Yeah.
You know, like I love to see those types of matchups, and Highland was right with them.
Oh, yeah. Highland's a good program.
Oh, boy, they are.
They're a good program. 5A, they've really built themselves into a powerhouse, and they're another team not afraid to play anybody.
Right. And that's across the sports spectrum at Highland.
Oh, absolutely.
Not just limited to football.
Absolutely. Edwardsville did win that game 41-33, but obviously a heck of a ball game. So other non-conference Mississippi Valley games, Marion over Jersey 64-29. Collinsville got the late win over Triad 10-7. Waterloo handled Columbia 49-6. And Muskuta defeated Mount Vernon 47-12.
Unfortunately, the Litchfield-Staunton game for tonight was canceled earlier in the week. Litchfield wound up having some COVID issues, so they were not able to field the team, didn't have enough players. And their head coach, Dan Carlson, good enough to join us on the phone right now. And Dan, I'd ask you how you're doing. Oh, it's not Dan. Who did you call? Oh, he called Jacob. Okay. I wrote things down in the wrong order. Jacob Bilbrook joins us on the phone right now. Sorry about that, Jacob. I got to get my stuff together here. How are you doing this morning?
No problem. I was a little confused there for a second, but that's all right. Been better, been worse. You know, we'll try to pick things up going forward and, you know, see what we can do next week.
Jacob, the final score 35-2, but it was one of the strangest games I've seen, because I don't think I'm overstating this. I counted 4 surefire touchdowns that you didn't get, and you fumbled at the 1-yard line. That's a lot of points, and you got 0 out of it. I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Yeah, we had a lot of points, you know, potential points left out there, and you know, shot ourselves in the foot a lot with a lot of other things too. You know, I thought we played pretty young last night, including myself as a young play caller. I was not very good. You know, when you make those types of mistakes against a really good ball team and, you know, shoot yourselves in the foot with penalties and you know, leave those points off the board, you're asking for trouble, and Greenville gave it to us, no doubt about it.
Through the first 2 weeks, Jacob, personal fouls have been a bit of a problem for the Miners. You know, they haven't been like, you know, dirty, nasty plays. It almost seems like more of a jawing type of situation, but I think 5 unsportsmanlike conduct penalties in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's something that we got to get that cleaned up. I don't know where that's coming from. We don't have those issues of practice. We don't have those issues with the coaching staff. We got to get those situations cleaned up the penalties through the first couple of weeks just across the border are a big problem. And, you know, like I said, some of that You know, you can attribute it to being young, but sooner or later you got to grow up and learn how to play the game the right way and do things right. And, you know, otherwise, you know, like we said, you're gonna lose. You're gonna lose to good ball teams when you're in tight games. And you know, that's where we find ourselves after 2 weeks. It didn't cost us in week one, but it definitely cost us in week two.
And I mean, that's the thing about football, right? You want to walk that line during the whistle, but as soon as the whistle blows, you got to just release it.
Yeah, and you know, I thought that we did a little bit better controlling our emotions last night than we did in week one. But you know, we still got some things to work on there, but. Last night, you know, the penalties that we were getting were kind of, you know, there was a couple situations where, you know, we didn't have a guy, you know, totally up on the line properly, and, you know, a couple backs in motion at the same time and things like that. So, you know, substituting defenders, you know, when Greenville gets going really fast, you know, they're putting the pressure on you, no doubt about it. And, you know, I thought we did some things right, but we did a lot of things wrong. And you know, it's just one of those games where you want to, you know, you want to get back in the and you know, study the film as quick as you can, or not study the film, you know, depending on what type of person you are. I don't know what you know, you see it or you don't want to see it, but regardless, it's got to happen. And I told the kids last night, I mean, it's just one of those things where we got to learn from it, and you know, make the adjustments going forward. That's all you can do at this point, and you know, we're going to do it together.
And you know, Jacob, it was one of those games. It didn't get out of hand till relatively late. I mean, it's 14-2, and I'm thinking Gillespie's right in this ball game, and there were big plays that were there to be had. So, like, when you think about the game, it's not that hard to get yourself to the point of, we could have been leading that game 20-14 at some point in the third quarter, but you weren't.
Yeah, and you're right. But that, you know, that's football, and that's just that's high school football. You know, especially, you know, we're dealing with you know, 16, 17 year old kids, and I think that the biggest thing that comes from that is keeping their head on straight. You know, hey, you know, you can't look at it, you know, we're down by two scores, or you can't look at it like, oh, we should be doing this, should be winning or should not be. You just got to move to the next play. You just got to play ball. And you know, regardless of, you know, what it looks like. And I was proud of the team last night for, you know, we in the fourth quarter, we were talking about, you know, I had the kids coming up and talking about never giving up and, you know, play to the last whistle, that type of thing. And, it was a tough game to be on the losing side of, you know, but like I said, hats off to Greenville. They're really good. We knew they were. There was a couple things that I thought that we could have done a lot better. And like I said, that all starts with me. I could have been a lot better play calling, and I was not very good last night. Put the kids in tough situations, but you know, like I said, we're willing to move forward and you know, just learn from it and make the adjustments that we need to, and try to make ourselves better and get ready for Painter next week.
Well, that's exactly right. And you know, the old saying is, "Mama said there's going to be nights like that," and it was just one of those nights where you could just—it just wasn't your night. Things, plays that normally get made, didn't get made. And Jacob, sometimes the difference between the reason you lost can get skewed into, well, that's an excuse. Well, no, maybe it's just the reason that you lost the game. But as I was watching that game, I had the thought, sometimes you try too hard because you want it too much. You know, the first game honoring Don DeBrino last night, I just wonder if some of your kids just wanted it too much and maybe were thinking instead of just reacting. I don't know. That's just my thought.
Yeah, and you could be, you know, you could be right. We made a lot of, you know, we kind of got the feeling watching the game, and then, you know, definitely after watching the film, you know, we got a lot of, we tried a lot of young guys out there, you know, you know, for as few mistakes as we made versus Litchfield as far as, you know, execution of plays goes, we made that many mistakes against Greenville. So, you know, I don't know, you know, like I said, hats off to Greenville, because I mean, they're the ones that put us in those situations. I mean, no doubt about it, they're tough to block, and they've got some big boys up front that'll move you. And you know, they're just a really solid ball team. But you know, if we're going to play with teams like that, then we need to you know, we need to clean it up a little bit. And you know, I have full confidence that we'll be able to do that and get back to it this week and you know, make some improvements and just get better every week. That's what we're trying to do.
That's exactly right. And Pena, Carlinville, Vandalia with Greenville last week. That's quite the 4-week stretch.
Yeah, you know, if you're, I mean, you got to play those guys, you know, sometime. Yeah. And we know they're in the conference, and it's a good measuring stick for us. You know, if we're going to be as good as we think that we are, then you know, we need to start playing good ball with these types of teams. And you know, like you said, we'll get a beat on where we are real quick with the next 4 weeks for sure.
Jacob Bilbrick, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir, and best of luck to the Miners along the way.
All right, appreciate it, Tim. Thanks for the coverage.
All right. Jacob Bilbrick, the head coach of Gillespie. And, David, you could just – they've got a lot of offensive talent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, there were big, big plays that the guys will make for Gillespie 99 out of 100 times. Just last night was the one, and it all happened at the same time in the same game.
At what point – when you were watching the game, did you realize it's just not Gillespie's night? Because that sometimes that's just it. It's just not your night.
I think the last play of the first half, when it was 7-2 or 4, it was 14-2 at that point. And Gillespie had fourth down and goal to go. Helvey elevates in the back of the end zone, makes the catch. Beautiful catch over defenders, and he came down out of bounds.
Mm.
I'm thinking, because they get the ball at the start of the third quarter. Yeah. At that point, I thought, it might not just be in the cards for the Miners tonight.
Yeah.
And that trend continued the second half. But you heard Jacob Bilbrick allude to it. Like sometimes, you know, we talk like that and people are like, boy, you're just, you know, you're not giving Greenville any respect. No. Don't skew it. Greenville played fantastic. And the difference is Gillespie had opportunities, didn't capitalize. Greenville had opportunities and 100% capitalized.
Well, keep in mind, Gillespie beat him in the spring.
Right.
And Gillespie has put up points under him, against him the last few years. The problem is Greenville in all those games has also put up points. So Gillespie just in those games needs to be able to match them on offense and unfortunately didn't get to last night.
Well, and one thing Greenville had going, those kids, they were playing for their coach, Todd Hutchinson. He was there last night, and we won't get too much into it because, you know, it's a personal deal, but Hutch was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he was back last night, not on the sidelines, but he was up in the stands, and he was there. And I heard after the game, after we had signed off, I heard the boys of the World Cup, that was for you, Coach. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Greenville was highly, highly motivated last night, and they played like it.
I thought it was interesting, Jacob said, what he said about, he thought they did a lot better job when coming to the penalties about controlling themselves last night, as opposed to week one, which is kind of ironic because they lost last night and they won in week one. I can't say that he's wrong. I didn't see either game.
Well,
but
no, he is right. They had some, we'll say, loose penalties in week one.
It's just interesting hearing that when your more out-of-control penalties came in a win as opposed to a loss.
Yeah, but see that, right, but that's always the beauty of talking to the coaches because you see it how they see it, right? Like when they're watching it, they're not watching the same thing that you and I are watching as fans.
Yeah.
It's always fascinating to me. Head coach Dan Carlson of the Litchfield Purple Panthers joins us on the radio right now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, unfortunately, you're not getting ready for a football game tonight, and this has become an all-too-common line of question that we have to go down. But take us through the process of what happened earlier in the week that led to the cancellation.
Well, you know, we had our usual setup going on, you know, came in Monday, watched the film, broke it down. All the kids were in really good spirits. You know, all the mistakes we made last Saturday, against Gillespie, you know, were definitely fixable mistakes, you know, and so pointing those out, getting the kids to see video, you know, many of our guys were just a little shell shocked from, you know, a lot of their first varsity games.
Yeah.
You know, we had some seniors who had seen time as freshmen and sophomores, but, you know, only playing the JV schedule last year and then not playing anything. It was kind of a big thing for them, going straight from JFL or JV straight into the Friday night lights or the Saturday night lights, I guess. And so we were coming off of it pretty high. And then, unfortunately, I'm sitting in my prep period, first hour on Tuesday. And when the boss and the boss's boss full show up into your room, it's usually not a good thing.
No, no. That's a bad day.
No. And I was like, well, I mean, I know we lost, but I mean, I didn't think it was that bad. But, you know, I was like, are you guys coming for moral support? They're like, yeah, Dan, you don't want to talk to us, right? And I was like, oh. Yeah. I was like, and then the nurse shows up. I was like, oh, that's definitely not good. So, you know, it's definitely one of those demoralizing things that, you know, it was such a very small window that that this could have happened to us in the situation. And, you know, and our admin has worked their tails off to get the test to stay. And if it had been any other day besides, you know, if we had played on Friday night, this wouldn't have been an issue. If this had occurred on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, all of our kids would have been in a test to stay situation. And, you know, we would have played last night or today, you know, against Staunton. And I think that's something that kind of, you know, demoralized the kids a little bit, you know, but after the initial wave, they kind of calmed down. They've been texting me and talking to me through our huddle and our Remind apps and, you know, asking about film. And they've really, you know, I've already had kids this morning texting me and saying, hey, saw that Piasov films up, you know, what do we need to do? What do we need to look at? And so, you know, I'm really proud of them for taking the initiative as they've been in quarantine right now. So
that is the fun part of high school coaching, isn't it, though, when you've got the kids reaching out to you about watching the film?
Yeah, I think that's the thing is that, you know, the thing that I sat down and talked with my coaches about this year is a lot of the progress that we're looking to make this year is going to be that intangible. It may not necessarily show up on the scoreboard. It may not necessarily show up in the wins and losses column. And obviously that's what we all want to see. But, you know, our kids are getting that spark of love for the game back. They're learning how to be football players. They're learning how to be students of the game, how to watch the film. You know, not just watch where the ball goes, but watch their positions, watch what they need to do, how they need to attack something, how they need to defend something. And, you know, it's really fun to see this growth of this program coming up. I've got some really good senior leaders who are stepping up and, you know, really taking some of these young sophomores under their wings and kind of helping them guide them through the process. And so it's really kind of fun to watch as you develop. And it's a unique thing when you're looking to rebuild a program of that maturation of your players because you get to look at it more. You know, when you're looking at the varsity level, you're usually getting not a finished product, obviously, but you're not as worried about that growth and development process that your JV and your freshman coaches are doing for you. And that's something that I think is always overlooked, is the importance of the underclass coaches in the development of your program. You know, when you look at some of the great programs, I guarantee you that their best coaches, you know, the top two coaches are probably their OC, their DC, and their head coach. And then probably the third best coach that they've got is probably sitting down there at freshman level, not getting any of the glory because he's developing those guys and teaching them so that they can get up to the varsity level and be ready to play for those for the guys that are getting all the glory.
That's exactly right. That's the secret to the success, especially at small public high schools. When you see the small public high schools that are consistently good, that has to be the common denominator. You alluded to it, a program, not a good varsity team for one season, a program from JFL all the way through.
Yeah, and you know, and that's something that we've worked really hard on is getting with our JFL program. And you know, what they're running may not look like what we're running, but we're beginning to establish that vertical alignment where all of our terminology is the same, and we're making sure that our kids understand what the words that are used at the JFL level are still going to be the words that are used at the high school level. And when they begin to grow and develop like that, they hit the ground running. You know, one of the classic examples I have is Tim Rodas, who is a Carlinville native, but is on my staff for me this year. You know, when his son was at Carlinville, he got with Coach Easterday and really worked with him to ensure that they were having that vertical alignment. When I was in high school, you know, a triad middle school, they did exactly what the high school coaches wanted them to do. And you see that across the board, that any good program has a JFL that's vertically aligned with theirs so that their kids aren't learning, you know, one offense and defense at the lower levels and then getting a completely different set of terminology and words and ideas at the upper level. Everybody's on the same page. And you know, right now we've got a JFL group that, you know, they're going through some bumps right now. They're going through the learning process, but it's a brand new thing for everybody. And, you know, I've got Ron Anglin, who's the director of the JFL. I've got a individual by, Coach Yonkers and, Coach Alcalon, you know, who are really buying into this. And, they're really working hard to develop the program. You know, when they win, we win. When we win, they're going to win and be successful and get more kids in the program.
Talking with Dan Carlson, the Litchfield head football coach. And Dan, I've said it here the last couple of weeks. To me, just as a guy looking from the outside in, the mentality and the culture, it is changing. It is different. The vibe here is different, and you are to get a lot of credit for that. But it does seem to me that the mentality of Litchfield football is turning a corner in a substantial way.
Well, we appreciate that. You know, I'll be honest, though, you know, head coach is only as good as his assistants. And right now I've got a lot of guys who are investing a lot of time and effort into these young men. And, you know, they're not doing it for very much money. You know, they love the kids and they want to see these kids grow. You know, so a lot of it has to go off to my coaching staff, you know, that they do a phenomenal job. They're coming in out of outside jobs and outside of the community, and they're hustling to get back to here. And, you know, the kids see that. The kids see when you're investing in them. They see when you're taking away your personal time to devote it to them. You know, I think, you know, we joke with the kids that, trust us, I think we get paid like $1.25 an hour to hang out with you guys. It's not for the money. Right. But you know, on top of that, though, it also goes to our kids. You know, we've got a group that wants to win. We've got a group that, you know, they're sick and tired of being the low end of the conference. And, you know, really it goes off to our seniors that they understand where they're at. They understand the situation and that, you know, we may not get the wins or the, you know, the wins that we wanted this year, but going down the line, they're going to be able to look back with pride on this season and say, you know what, we're the ones that took a stand and we're the ones that sacrificed our junior year to build the program. We're the ones who, you know, went through the process and built the foundation. We had to get back down to rock bottom before we could start building up. It's like building a house. You got to make sure your foundation is sound before you can start building upwards. And that's what we had to do, is we had to go backwards a little bit. We had to reteach some stuff, reteach mindset, reteach, you know, basic fundamentals. And once you get that foundation set, you can quickly start building vertical.
Dan, final question. Do you anticipate being able to play next week, no issues, or too early to tell?
Oh, as of right now, I've been talking with our kids. They've been doing a great job in checking in and doing the daily check-ins with the IDPH or the County Health Department. And as of right now, we're gonna put a team out on the field on Friday night. It's gonna be our homecoming game, and you know, we're gonna do the best that we can. You know, and I think that's what it is that, you know, these kids have sacrificed so much already that, you know, if we can play a game, we're absolutely going to play a game. You know, one of the other things that most people don't realize is that last week we were down three starters against Gillespie, and, you know, we're going to get those kids back on Monday. And so that's really going to bolster our numbers back up for this upcoming game as well. So, our kids are staying active. They're quarantining. They're by themselves, but they're staying active. They're sending me videos of them working out, you know, some throwing balls to the tires, you know, going old school on it. But, you know, they're doing the best that they can. They want to play, and they've already missed so much. They don't want to miss another one because of technicalities. And, you know, just to get that experience of being underneath the Friday night lights, keep everybody safe. And a game is a game. You know, we can always learn from something. You know, no matter what the outcome is we're going to be able to take that and learn from it and move forward, you know, as we really get into the teeth of our conference here. So, you know, we don't want to miss anymore. The seniors don't want to miss anymore. The community doesn't want to miss anymore. And we definitely don't want to miss a homecoming game. So.
All right. Sounds fantastic. We'll be there next week when you host Southwestern for a homecoming. Dan Carlson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir.
Appreciate it, like always. Have a great day, guys.
That's the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, Dan Carlson. We need to get to one more break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will talk it over with Nokomis head coach Paul Watson when Sports Saturday rolls on.
9:55 right here on FM 106 WSMI. Once again, thank you to the sponsors for our Sports Saturday program, and they include Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond, Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield, Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville, Prairie Town Feed Seed, Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care, Garrels Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield, Litchfield National Bank, and Woods Basement Systems. Once again, we're going to rejoin WSMI's Tim Mize and David Jenkins.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. We've got more high school football this afternoon. Pena at Hillsboro live at 1:45 right here on FM 106.1 and online at WSMIRadio.com. Last night, Nokomis went into Milwaukee, took on the top-ranked team in Class 1A. Central A&M came out with the win, 45-14. And Nokomis head coach Paul Watson joins us on Sports Saturday this morning. And, Coach, a little different feeling last night opposed to Week 1.
Yeah, it was. You know, A&M's a good team. You know, that's why they're ranked number one in 1A. And you know, we're going to take this and learn from it and keep moving on.
What's the main takeaway after last night?
You know, execution. We, you know, our game plan coming in there. You know, was it just a few things that we didn't execute on. Gave up big plays, a lot of missed tackles. So, you know, games like this, you know, you watch it, and we're down here watching film this morning and learn from it. And then after tonight, you know, that game's done and over with, and we move on for East Dalton, whatever.
You know, missed tackling, I would suspect, you know, second game of the year against a team like A&M, in terms of a tackling environment, that's the toughest one they've had in a while.
Well, you know, they got some good running backs there, and we had people there in position, you know, and that's what we're just telling the kids, you know, difference between the way we were playing defense in the spring and the way we've been playing, you know, even in week one, you know, we're not swarming to the ball with a purpose. You know, we're kind of getting there and thinking, okay, my buddy's got the tackle, instead of getting, you know, getting your nose in there and getting three, four, five guys on the tackle like we did in the spring.
And Paul, I just get the feeling that that aspect is coming very quickly for your club.
It is, and like I said, we will get that fixed this week, and we'll make sure that from here on out, that's not going to be a problem.
And I know from a coaching perspective, you learn a heck of a lot more about your club from week two than you did from week one.
Oh, absolutely. You know, in losses like this, you know, that was, you know, we won seven straight. I think the kids are kind of, you know, I don't want to say they had a big head, but they, you know, they thought things were coming easy, and, mm-hmm. and they didn't have to, they weren't playing as hard as they have been early in the spring and even against Redbud, to where, you know, even last night, you know, it was 13-6 there in the first quarter, and we got stopped. They stopped us. We had the first and goal or second goal from the 2-yard line, you know, where we could have had another score and possibly, you know, tied it up or taken the lead. You know, so early on we were staying with them, and then that momentum kind of changed, and then we had a couple turnovers, and like I said, big plays we gave up, and then momentum switched, and then it kind of got out of hand.
And you alluded to it, this will be a game that you guys are better for come, you know, week 7, week 8, week 9. And as you look now towards Wood River, it's always different when you're not in a conference, right, as an independent club this year. Almost every game's almost like a conference championship.
It is, you know, and the thing with, you know, with Wood River is them being in our conference for the last several years and playing them every year, you know, we know their coaches. They got good coaching staff there. There's some really good guys there, and they'll have their ball club ready, and you know we'll have ours, and we have some pretty good games.
Yeah, you guys had a bit of a wild one the last time you played in the fall.
Yeah, it was end up well spring. I think it was 18-6. We won that one, and then yeah, the one in the last fall that was, you know, we won on a last second, you know, toss there to Landon Engelman to take the lead.
Paul Watson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, thank you.
All right, Paul Watson, the head coach of Nokomis, and yeah, it was like the both sides of the coin for Nokomis here through the first 2 weeks.
Well, and they've got an interesting circumstance. I don't think they play a conference game.
They're independent this year.
Are they? Okay. So there you go. Yeah. Must have been difficult to put the schedule together.
Yeah. Every schedule, like yeah. We always talk, like, and you know, you can find our broadcast schedule at WSMIRadio.com. You'll notice in the top and bold, it says subject to change.
Yeah.
Never has it been more true. I guarantee you what's up there now will not be the final product.
No.
It will not be, unfortunately. Right. Pena at Hillsboro, that is a final product. That's happening this afternoon. 2:00 kick, live 1:45 pregame coverage on FM 106.1 and online at WSMIRadio.com. Fighting Illini hosting UTSA today, 5:30 with the pregame on 105.3 The Ox. Cards Brewers from Milwaukee tonight, 5:15 pregame, WSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9. In 92.9. Sports Saturday is out of time. For Jennifer Graham and David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize here on WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.